www.cbc.org. Glad to have you with us. Chapter. Yes, I see Paul. That's right. See, right. That's good. All right, 6 and verse, you said verse 5?
Yes.
Now let's read verses 5, 6, and 7, starting with verse 5. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. All right, 5, 6, and 7. Now, these are all giving workers together, and the attitudes that we have while we work together as believers. It said that in the book of Corinthians and in Corinth, and so we ought to do the same. Now, let's go in stripes. What does in stripes mean? Any hands on that? Yes? Go ahead. What does stripes mean?
That's what Paul was saying, persecution of the church, of believers.
Beatings, that's right, beatings. Now, have any of us in this church had this yet? Any of us had that yet?
I doubt it.
Was it?
I doubt it.
We haven't been beaten, but some may come. Who knows? When we fail to take the vaccination spread, who knows what's going to happen? Throw us into prison, who knows what's going to happen to us? I'm not taking these stupid vaccinations that they're looking for us. And they can tell what the vaccinations were, if they had it or not, because they got numbers on them. When they go to buy some bread or go to the store, they say, see what you got. You're not vaccinated? No food for you. So various things. Stripes? Who knows? Imprisonments. Anybody of us had that yet? I don't know any of us have been in prison yet for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that may be coming. That may be coming. We've got to follow the Lord no matter where it leads us. What is tumults? In tumults, tell me.
There are many Christians across the world that have been in prison.
Oh, yes, they certainly have. And they should be following the Lord no matter what takes place. Tumults, what are those things? Any hands on that? Well, I guess we don't know what that is, so we just move on to the next one.
Yes, commotions. Riotous commotions.
Riotous commotions, all right. That's right. Watchings. What would that mean? Watchings. Yes, Anna.
It's like maybe... You're watching something, but it's like you're observing something, staying alert. Perhaps, although not always, it indicates that you would be staying up past your normal awake time.
All right.
To watch.
It might be other people watching us to see what we're doing, what we're not doing. And fastings.
I think we missed in labors there.
Pardon me?
In labors.
Okay, what are labors? What does that mean? 2 months of labors. Yeah, we missed that.
Hard work.
Watchings, fastings means what? In fastings. Any hands on that? Yeah, John?
Well, I'm afraid it could be in a couple of different ways. You could just fast by not having food or just liquid, or both, for a short period of time, search out the Lord's will, but not to be seen of others.
All right.
Tammy's got it.
Oh, Tammy, I'm sorry.
It's also possible that it wasn't necessarily something that he chose, whereas today, people say, I'm going to fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, This is a fasting. Maybe it was imposed upon him by the situation. Perhaps there was no time for eating, mm-hmm. or there was nothing to eat. Could have been a number of reasons.
Yes, nothing to eat, and that's coming in this country. For instance, Dave Hodges is very strong on that. They're cutting down food all over the place. It's going to be difficult to have any food. He suggests you go to the store every single day for food, for food, for food, because it's going to be cut off very soon in our country. So we may be having this fasting forced upon us very soon. Indeed, he's got very, very good facts on that also. Fastings, and I've lost my place here. What's next?
Verse 6.
Fastings, now, by pureness, what would that signify? By pureness. Genuine Christians should live in these manners. What is purity? Tammy?
Holiness.
Holiness, all right. And not wickedness and sinfulness, but purity. Pureness. Is that Paul talking? Yeah, Paul, you have something? Your hand is raised, Paul?
I think you're just talking to the lame lecture.
Okay, by pureness, all right. Now, by knowledge, what would that include? By knowledge. Yes, Tammy?
Well, the Apostle Paul and the saints, the true believers in Corinth and all of us by extension, can approve ourselves as ministers of God if we have proper knowledge of the Scriptures.
Knowledge of the Scriptures, very important to have. Some Christians have very little knowledge of the Scriptures.
Yes.
Very much so. Many have that. They don't read the Scriptures to know what they are. By long suffering, how would you define that? Long suffering. That's your name?
It's the macrothermia beyond the boiling point. I mean, it goes beyond. It's long suffering. You have a type of patience,
long suffering. Putting up with people, putting up with things, putting up with circumstances. By kindness, how would we define that?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is that not more geared toward circumstances and patience toward people, or are they interchangeable?
I suppose they're interchangeable. I know long suffering, putting up with people, I guess put up with things as well.
Because I thought the long suffering was putting up with circumstances.
Yes, it could be, but sometimes you have to have long suffering toward people too, because they can irritate us and give us problems.
Well, that would be patience, then.
Well, it could be patience. Long suffering is people, and kind of patience is circumstance. That's possible.
Paul's coming.
Paul, yes. Go ahead, Paul. Yes, I think that's a good definition, Paul. Yes, of long-suffering, putting up with people. We preached on that the other week, I believe, of being long-suffering. God was long-suffering in many areas. Long-suffering at the time of Noah, time of other things. Putting up with either patience with people or with circumstances. I think normally it's with people. By kindness, how would you define kindness? Any hands on that? Well, not being unkind, kindness is being fair with people and not yelling and screaming at them. Be kind. And then by the Holy Ghost. Anna.
I'm sorry. So, long suffering in verse 6 is macrothumia.
Macrothumia.
And patience in verse 4 is a different word, hypomone.
All right. So, hypomania, and by the Holy Ghost, how would that be enacted? Let this Holy Spirit of God control us and guide us and emphasize His ministries and His fruits. By love unfeigned, what would that mean? What does unfeigned mean? What does feigned mean? Pastor Dan?
It sounds
like fake. Yeah, fake would be, unfeigned would be not true.
Joel just came in.
What was that?
Joel has joined us.
Hi, Joel.
Oh, Joel, is that?
She's not.
Hi, Joel.
She has the initials. Oh,
okay. It's hard to see sometimes. It's not too clear.
She's not got a video.
She just has her
initials.
She just has her initials.
She's listening.
Oh, okay, Joel, thank
you. JS, that's
her initials. Good for listening. By love unfeigned, not fake love, but true love, unfeigned, not falsified. Feigned means to falsify. And then verse 7, 5, 6, and 7, by the word of truth, what would that include? Hands of that,
well,
John?
The word of truth is the scriptures.
All right.
Or you can even say Jesus, because Jesus is the word.
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
By the word of truth, scriptures of truth, using the scriptures. Does everyone like to hear what the scriptures have to say about things?
No.
No, they do not. Because it points a finger straight back at them many times, and they don't want the truth. They're living contrary to the truth. By the power of God, what would they include in that? By the power of God. How is the power of God attained by believers and genuine Christians? Tammy?
Surrendering to the will of God and to the Holy Spirit's leading in our life.
Surrendering by the word of God and Holy Spirit leading with the power of God. And it's through the knowledge of the scriptures that gives us the power of God also. Mm-hmm. The armor of righteousness. What would that include? The armor of righteousness. Following the scriptures, got to follow the scriptures. Anna.
So going back to power, the Greek word there is dunamis, which is like the explosive, the power, sort of. The explosive power.
Explosive power.
Yes.
All right, of God. He gives us the Holy Spirit, His power, and it's all part of the armor of righteousness. What is that? The armor of righteousness. How do we achieve righteousness according to the scripture?
Through Christ.
Through Christ, and by faith in Him, on the right hand and on the left. What would that indicate? Oh, okay. Tammy.
Well, the armor, that reminds me of Ephesians chapter 6. And it was it's there for our protection. So it's the manner in which we are protected.
Mm-hmm.
The righteousness of Christ.
All right, protected. And the right hand on the left would indicate what?
We could be attacked on the right or the left.
All around.
All around. Righteousness. Now, that's 5, 6, and 7. Let's read 8, 9, and 10 together. By honor and dishonor,
by
evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Is that three?
Yes. 8, 9, 10.
7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, so verse 8. By honor and dishonor, what would that mean? Honor and dishonor. No matter if people call us honorable or dishonorable, we should still maintain our fellowship in Christian faith. Verse 8, by evil report and good report. What is involved in that? I mean,
Well, you could be lied about, and a lot of evil things said about you, or that people could give a good report, an honest report, perhaps.
All right. Whatever people think about us, evil or good, standing fast for the Lord, as deceivers, and yet true. What would that include? As deceivers, yes, Tammy?
People may perceive them as deceivers, or us,
mm-hmm.
But ultimately we're true. We're true
all
to
right.
the Lord, and mm-hmm. true to His Word, and honest in all of our doings.
We ought to be true in everything we do, even though we have people that say that we are deceivers. When we preach the Bible and live with the Bible and understand and know the Bible. In verse 9, as unknown and yet well known. What does that include? Unknown, well known. This world includes this unknown, but we're well known by the Lord. He knows everything.
Or it could also refer to we're not really known and understood. Because this world can't possibly understand the Christian. And yet, well, we may be well known, and there may be a lot of... Especially, I'm thinking in the context of the Apostle Paul, who's certainly well known.
Okay. See the voices. But,
you know, even by the world. I mean,
by the world, that's right.
The Jews knew who he was. They wanted to kill him because they didn't agree with him, and
right.
He had left Judaism.
Yes. And dying, and behold, we live. Dying in what sense? Probably dying to the world by the wickedness of the world, yet we live in Christ. Chastened and not killed. What would that include? Yes, Tammy?
All the different scourgings and all these things that he talked about in verse 5, and the imprisonments, 2 months, there was all that, plus all the things in chapter 11 that he suffered, and not killed. He wasn't killed for any of those things.
Yes, chastisement, many times God says we need, the Christians need chastisement, but not killed or destroyed. Then in verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Those contrasting things are what? Any ideas on those? Here comes the answer.
Hey.
Antoinette. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Antoinette.
2 Corinthians chapter 6.
In verse number...
10.
Chastens and not sorrowful. Yes, sorrowful and not always rejoicing. Sorrow may come, but there should be a rejoicing that we're believers and saved and righteous before God. And we're in verse 10 now. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 10. As poor, yet making many rich. What would that be include? What would that include? Poor, making me a Tammy.
May live as we are poor. We don't lavishly spend money, but we make others rich.
Okay, and richness can be in spiritual.
Yes.
Could be in spiritual things,
yes.
As well as we could give money to them, carnal things, but rich, having nothing and yet possessing all things. What would be included there? Having nothing. Like the Apostle Paul, for instance, Antoinette?
Because we have everything through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
we have
yes.
it all.
Yes, we have it all. But nothing as far as material money, maybe,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, but we have eternal life, so that's everything.
I saw a video yesterday about investments and how people could make money and different things. A lot of different places to make millions and so on, depending what we invest. But having nothing and yet possessing all things are yours, as it says in Scripture. And God has made us wealthy and rich spiritually. Did we read 11 yet?
No.
All right, let's read 11, 12, and 13 together.
O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged,
Ye are not strengthened in us, but ye are strengthened in your own bowels. Now for the recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye always enlarged.
Be ye not... Is that the next one?
No, 10, 11, 12. Are either.
Oh, 10, 11, 11 12. 13. Okay, so in verse 10, as sorrowfully it always rejoices. Didn't we finish that or no?
Yeah, we did that. 11.
Oh, we start with 11, yes. 11, 12, and 13. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. What would that mean? Our mouth is open unto you. Yes. Yes, Paul. All right, we're talking about you and open unto you. We have fellowship with you by talking.
Can that be repeated what Paul said? Can you read
well, what did you say? What did you say, Paul?
It's hard to hear.
Say that again, Paul. It's hard for us to hear.
Oh, is it?
Could turn it up then.
It's only one of the volumes.
My effective witness for others, okay. Okay. Verse 11.
Pastor Wade?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Jill. Yeah. I think might mean witnessing and telling, sharing the gospel with people, whether it's convenient or even if it's not convenient, to be ready at all times to hear the gospel, no matter what we're going through.
Okay. Being faithful to the gospel. What we're going at, Antoinette.
It says here, this is study Bible, but it says here to speak frankly. Like to have your mouth open is to speak frankly.
All right.
You know, the truth.
The truth. All right, open for you.
Yeah.
Our heart is enlarged. What would that indicate? In verse 11. Pastor Dan?
All right, getting back to a note here from Wisconsin. Wendy B says, I read this as hello from Wendy B. in Wisconsin. That was me who requested number 518, our times are in our hands.
Well, Wendy Barbie. Okay.
Thank you for this morning's service and this afternoon's Bible study.
Well, let's wave to Wendy Barbie.
Hi, Wendy.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Hi, Wendy. Good to hear from you.
I'm sorry I didn't get the right name for the songs there. Our heart is enlarged. What would that mean? Yeah, look, Antoinette.
Oh.
Excuse me.
To enlarge the heart is to increase its capacity for sympathy and understanding.
Increase capacity for sympathy.
That is taken from the Greek version of the Old Testament.
Sympathy and understanding.
Genesis 9:7.
All right.
I just have these notes.
Increase the heart, sympathy, yeah, understanding. Yeah. Yes, go ahead, Joe. All right?
Yeah.
Full of compassion. And then you're not straightened in us, but you are straightened in your own bowels. What would that mean, straightened? To Tammy.
Can I share another verse about the open, that our mouth is open unto you?
Yes.
In Psalm 81, verse 10, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it.
Mm-hmm. Open their mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's good.
So maybe they want, so they're expecting something from the Corinthians in terms of a confirmation that what they have taught them has been received.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yes, this is Dale.
Yeah, Dale.
Hi, Dale.
Yes. I just want to say thank you so much for the flowers. Your prayers and we're listening.
Good.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. I love you all.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Love you back.
Yeah. We love you.
Love you.
Thank you very much. Let's wave to...
Dale in Texas.
Mr. Gromer.
Good to hear from you. That's right. Very good to hear from you. All right.
What verse are we on now?
We're still on 11,
okay. Great, your mouth is open. Our heart is enlarged. Yes, Antoinette.
Yeah, from Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God. Of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. That's just being enlarged.
Good. Yes, that's a good verse to use. And then verse 12 here, not straightened in us. What does it mean to be straightened? Yes, Tammy?
Hemmed in, restricted.
Restricted, all right. In us, but you're straightened in your own bowels. What would that mean? Tam?
Well, in the Bible times, they used to talk about their bowels, and that's the seat of emotion. As today, mm-hmm. we talk about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be, you know, they have a conviction about something, and it's causing them to feel straightened and to feel like they're in a narrow place because of what. It is, they're actually thinking. It's not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Did we read 13 yet?
Yes.
Yes.
This is a medical thing, and maybe, I don't know, for what it's worth. I have read that the mind, the heart, and the gut, and the bowels, is all interconnected. Of course, we know we're all interconnected, but mm-hmm. there's something about that, so for what that's worth. Mm-hmm. Medically, if anybody knows anything about the medicine of that.
Right. Emotions certainly involved.
Yeah, your bowels. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and verse 13 now, mm-hmm. for a recompense in this same. What does a recompense mean? Attempt?
Repayment,
okay, repayment. A recompense in the same. I speak as unto my children. What would that involve? Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's their spiritual father.
Spiritual father, that's right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you speak of it as unto the children, sometimes the children need a little bit of a strong
will.
Will, the strong words to get straightened out, so children aren't obedient children. It can be positive or negative. Sometimes children are fine and wonderful. You speak of them and not only correct them, but you compliment them. Yes, that's right.
I was just thinking of a positive note that a father loves his children, so
yes.
He wants to share.
Exactly right.
The truth.
Now, he says, be also enlarged. That goes back to verse 11, right?
Yes.
What would that mean, be enlarged? Get fatter and... heavier?
I was thinking.
Oh, yeah, Danny?
That's them that have a spiritual depth and appreciation for all that God has given them through the Apostle Paul.
All right, so make provision for these people and not just hold just your own group of people, but enlarge others as well. Did we read 14 yet?
No.
Let's read 14, 15, and 16 together. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. These are verses on biblical separation. Mm-hmm. Very important verses. What's the first in verse 14 mean? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. How would that come to pass? Yes, Pastor Dan.
Well, something equal versus unequal. And something equal, it's the same. You know, something that's unequal, it's not the same.
What'd you say, Paul?
Paul?
Did you say something, Paul?
In other words, yes. Go ahead, Paul. I can't hear you. Speak up. Okay.
We missed what you said, Paul. Please repeat it.
I can't hear you, Paul. Yes, I hear you now.
Hello?
Yes, we hear you.
I hear you.
That's certainly part of it, isn't it? What about other things? Hey, Anna?
Well, it could be some sort of business partnership or something.
A business partnership? Yeah, Tammy?
Or, theologically, if you're yoked together with someone that's not a believer, or maybe they're not even they're a believer, but maybe they believe completely differently than you, and you're trying to win someone to the Lord, and they don't believe in the same planet, the same type of explaining the gospel the same way, you're going to have a problem.
These are verses on biblical separation. Very good verses. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
And the point of a yoke is, in the farming world, to unite two animals the same size, same type, for them to work together. And so if you have an animal, you have a sheep and a horse, they're not going to be able to work together.
Right.
I mean, you know, you just think of putting a yoke on a sheep anyway, but in other words, I'm sure there's that idea, you can't have them work together. You have to have two equal, in a farm world, two equal types of beasts, two types of equal types of animals, so the yoke can function like it's supposed to function.
Anna, and then Tammy, and then Antoinette.
I'm not completely certain, but I think this is in the present prohibition.
Present prohibition, yes. So it means stop something.
Yes, stop being unequally yoked.
All right.
I could be
missing. So Tammy, then Antoinette.
Mom had a little I'll call it a cartoon for lack of a better word. It was a picture of two donkeys that were on a rope, like together, but they had a certain amount, but they didn't have enough, and there was a haystack over on one side, and there was a haystack on the other side, or whatever they eat. And when they tried to go opposite directions, neither one of them could meet to the haystack. And then finally they decided, you know, the bottom line of the progression was that they eventually ended up working together to go to the one, and then they went over to the other one. So they were able to eat both of them as long as they were together, because they were, in a loose sense, they were yoked together. It was a rope or something. It wasn't a true yoke.
Right. Antoinette.
Yeah, and I was going to talk about, like, what Pastor Dan was talking about, the two animals, and what I was thinking was, if you had different animals, the whole idea of farming is that the goal is to plow the field. So if you're not getting two animals of equalness, so to speak, then you're not going to get the job done. You're not going to be able to plow the field correctly. So the whole idea is that there's nothing going on. And it's funny because then that's what Tammy was talking about. And then I just wanted to make some funny comment that two donkeys, okay, is that any reference to the Democrats? And how they argue amongst themselves? Okay.
No, it wasn't a political thing.
No, I'm just saying. It reminded me of something political because they argue among themselves.
Anna?
So this could be in relation to friendships as well. Sometimes you can get too close to a friend who's not a believer, and it can cause much distress, especially for the believer, because the unbeliever probably isn't going to be swayed too much, and so then the believer is going to feel like they're being asked to compromise their convictions, and so even though they might care about the person, they might have to separate themselves, whether it's by putting more distance or just completely cutting off ties. Sometimes some it's hard because you care about the person, but you can't be close to them anymore. And if they aren't letting you go, then you just have to cut off the tie completely, which is not very pleasant.
Should Bible-believing churches and Bible-believing Christians have any fellowship with the national and world councils of churches?
No.
No.
Why not?
They're
ecumenical. Yes, Jill?
Yeah. If you yoke yourself together, those who are unbelievers, whether it's through or via a marriage or a friendship, that other person who is an unbeliever is going to distract you from God's word and encourage you to sin.
Yes. Yes.
And everything. And that can trouble you, and that can make you quench the Spirit of God, grieve the Spirit of God that's living inside of you.
Yes, right. So, yes, Antoinette.
I think early on in when I first got saved and all, what I came to conclude with people that are not saved, like you know, I was living down the shore, and there was different people going in and out of this rooming house and such, but what I learned was that you can only go so far in a relationship with an unbeliever. Like, you can talk to them and say good morning, and maybe they're eating toast and you're having toast in the community kitchen. But you realize that you can only go so far in a relationship mm-hmm. like that. Whereas if you have a Christian female friend, it's so much richer and deeper because you're both on the same page. You mm-hmm. both know what you believe and that sort of thing. So it's very limiting is what I'm saying. So either they're like everyone else was saying, either it's going to go forward and they'll be influenced by Christ in you, or it's going to go the other route and, you know, you could get in trouble by spending too much time with that person to be drawn mm-hmm. in. So got to make up your mind.
It's an unequal yoke, believers and unbelievers in these big organizations, mm-hmm. yet many churches have erred and made foolish and done wrong in yoking up with unbelievers in various organizations and situations. Yes, Tammy?
A lot of the attempts at evangelism have actually watered down the church and the gospel.
Yes.
Because they have tried to draw people into their church by changing standards. Mm-hmm. And then once the people, quote, make a profession of faith, then the church has declined, and then it just continues to do that as they reach out to other people. And before long, the church is just like the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Billy Graham evangelist, for example, he's made friends with the world, unbelievers, godless people, non-Christians, and big meetings. Puts them all together, puts them on the front page, and puts them on the stage, and they're equal to horrible, monstrous compromise in not being separate from the unbelievers. You got a bigger audience after, if yes, go ahead. Yes. There's some other faces here, Pastor Dan.
Yeah.
Who is that right now?
The Haas.
The Haas.
The Haas?
Okay. Haas, Colorado, from Denver. Is it Colorado?
We're from Colorado.
Do you have something to enter into this, Brother Ross?
This is Mike.
This is Mike. It's on 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But before we got a message here from Wisconsin.
All right.
Sending to pastor, sending warm greetings, actually from Maine, rather. I'm sorry. Sending warmest greetings to our church family. Thank you very much for this morning's message and this afternoon's Bible study. We are so grateful to the Lord for you all. God's blessings and His love, Carl and Vicki.
I'm Vicki Albert. This way is the Carl and Vicki Albert. It's good. Thank you very much. So we're glad to have the pastors also with us. If you have any comments, go ahead and talk if you wish. You have any comment to say about these articles?
We just got here.
Okay. We're in separation.
We're in 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians.
Chapter 6, verse
14.
6:14. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, where we are. No, we've got a lot of people, a lot of churches that made against the scriptures and failing to follow 2 Corinthians 6:14 and be separated. Unequally yoked. Why is it called unequal yoking? What's unequal about saved and lost getting in together in the same group? What's unequal? Is that? Answer that.
I'm sorry. Did somebody else?
No, go ahead, answer that.
Well, one's of the light and one's dark. In other words,
right.
People are, and then, brought to life through Christ, and the other ones are still in darkness because they don't know Jesus.
So if you're...
There's no, union there.
Mm-hmm. So if you're in the darkness, what does it do to the ones that are in the light? And if you're in the light, what does it do with the ones in the darkness if you're hooked up together?
Well, yes, those that are in the light become dimmer.
Dimmer, that's right. And those who are in the darkness?
They're still in the darkness.
Still in the darkness, there's no change. Yes?
The darkness doesn't like the light.
The darkness doesn't like the light.
They're
trying
to get persecuted. They don't understand. They just
right.
don't like it.
Yeah, Tammy?
It reminds me of there's a passage, I think it's in Zechariah, where it talks about if you have a clean, I don't know if it's a hand or clean something, and if it touches unclean, will it make it clean? And no, they'll both be dirty.
Both be dirty. Yes.
I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Joe?
Yes,
that's
right.
So more likely, that a believer will make the believer dirty I'm not saying make them totally evil, but I'm saying that people go in their language maybe to distracting towards things of the world and everything like that.
Yes, Brother Haas, would you like to speak? Go ahead and talk to us. You have a microphone there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good for you all.
Yes. Okay. Glad to have you with us. I can't hear.
I can't hear.
All right, so now notice it's an unequally yoke.
Did you say something else?
You said something I couldn't hear. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. That's a great verse to be separated from all apostasy and unbelief. And what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? There's no fellowship. We've got to stay... Are all genuine Christians separated from the world?
No.
No, they're not. That's a horrible situation to be in. Non-separated Christians with no fellowship. And what communion has light with darkness? Oh, excuse me, Anna.
Oh, well, just to clarify, it doesn't mean that we can't. We still have to live in the world, of course.
Yes.
And many of us have to work. And so when we work, we, of course, interact with lots of people who aren't saved. That doesn't mean that we're not supposed to. Now, if we have to work together to get the food to the customer, well, we have to work together to get the food to the customer.
Amen.
But, but it's more talking about, it's not talking about, like, just as a point of clarification, we still live in the world, but we're not of the world.
What does this word yoked mean? Yoked. Any hands on that, Tammy?
Well, it's a yoke is a device that farmers used in the past. They don't use it now. They use farm machinery, tractors and such, and combines, but to join two animals, and it was a piece of wood that joined them together, and then they were controlled by this one piece of wood that was over them. And they would steer them to go the direction that they wanted them to go.
So these are very... Patrick,
that reminds me, like, in the electrical world, you have two generators working, two larger generators that are working together. One of them work properly together, they have to unite it with the governor or some type of yoke. They have to yoke together with the governor, something so they'll work in conjunction with each other, and not against each other.
Should Satan be yoked up with God?
No.
See, this is unsaved people, like satanic. They're lost, bound for hell. And they should not be yoked up in a common endeavor with genuine Christians. Are some Christians yoked up like that? Are some churches yoked up like that?
Yes,
they are.
Absolutely.
They absolutely are. That's a problem this day. Yes, Anna and then Tammy.
Well, sometimes some churches get very involved with social things. It's not that we shouldn't care about people. I mean, the primary concern that we should have is we care for their spiritual needs, and then we care for their physical needs. But sometimes people start to care for the physical needs, and then they start working with secular groups to care for the physical needs of people, and so then the gospel gets lost.
Yes. Who was next? I forget.
Tammy.
Oh, Tammy.
You know, now I can't remember what I was going to say. I'm sorry.
And then in verse 15...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Just as you started, certain churches today are a lot more every day. This has probably been happening for quite a while. I've been going to compromising with the New Age movement and a lot of Eastern religion. And so, you know, you're right there. That's exactly what it is. You're dealing with demons and devils, and you're no longer... Are you, you know, it's not communing with anyone that's a believer at all. So.
Mm-hmm. I was talking with Anne-Marie Hodeshaw from Canada yesterday. She talked about John MacArthur and his yoking up with Masons. Anne-Marie, do you want to, Anne-Marie, do you want to come on and talk about that? John MacArthur, what we talked about last night?
She'll have to call in.
From Canada, give us a call.
She doesn't have an invitation, does she?
I know.
Do they have one?
I sent one.
You sent one to them
a week ago? About 10 days ago.
Oh, you could actually see their face.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. That's right.
Yes, I know. From what I understand about the Masonry, the Masons is that it's very satanic. They go through rituals and all kinds of sacrifice. Oh, it's awful.
Yes. So, and she was talking last night about John MacArthur being a Mason, and his father and his grandfather. And that's the end of the line. That's an hour. But I'll set this off. We can finish up. But a terrible situation. In fact, the whole idea of his college. What's the name of it? Master College.
Los Angeles Baptist Father College.
Yes.
Before.
And the masters, that's maybe hooked up with a master of in the Masons, Sonic Masters. Yes, go ahead.
And I know another church. I mean, they're very, very liberal, judgmental. I've never been there, but I've heard very bad things about it. It's called Gloucester County Community Church, or GCCC. Yeah. And a friend of mine told me that she had a friend... went to that church, and they said that, you know, when they passed the parking lot there, kids and all this other stuff.
Yes.
And it leads me to believe that she said that she thinks the pastor might even be a Mason.
Yes, there's lots of masonry all over the place. Yes. Any other comments before I bring it to a close? Good to have you people with us, and maybe Pastor Dan can get a little bit darker, so we can now, on the top right, it's nice and dark, but it's hard to get the others.
Yeah, it could partially be on their end as well.
Could be on their end.
Maybe we get a big TV.
We do, yeah, bigger screen, yeah, we'll get that, yeah. We'll get that fun. Once we get this working right, we will.
I think Patrick, the worst of me, the time we were trying to find it, might be Haggai.
Haggai?
Yeah.
Oh, do you have it?
Yeah, chapter 2, verse, looks like 12, 13. 12 and 13, maybe 14 also. If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with a skirt to touch bread or pottage or wine or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Is that the...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then verse 14, then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, you were saying something on the screen?
We were close.
What are you saying on the screen there?
I think Paul was listening to his point. No, give it,
okay.
Give the,
any other comments and close? Before we close. Okay, John, would you close in a word of prayer for us, please?
Yeah, gracious Heavenly Father, we come for you.